This is Jordan Seculo. Today on J Seculo Live, with the federal government poised to avoid another government shutdown, the president is looking at every option to finish the wall.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live.
And you think it's easy? We're building in the face of tremendous obstruction and tremendous opposition from a small group of people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Now, one thing that happened that was, I think, very revealing, we had the biggest and best border agents and experts come up and see the committee. And they said, more than anything else, you need a barrier, you need a wall.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to J Seculo Live, and we're taking your phone calls right away at 1-800-684-3110. Here's where it stands right now, based off the president's remarks and members of Congress. It appears that Congress is poised to pass this bipartisan agreement on the border security and on funding the Department of Homeland Security. And again, it's got this certain amount of money to build 55 miles of whatever. You know, Democrats don't like saying they're authorizing wall, but it is exactly those steel slats that the president's been talking about. So whether you want to call it border barriers, border wall, that is in there. It's certainly not the full $5 billion that the president wanted, but he has indicated through his comments so far, and again, anything can change in Washington based off legislation that the votes are being scheduled. The House even has a vote scheduled for later today on this to move this forward. So, I mean, it might be late tonight. It could be tomorrow. But I mean, it's moving forward in Congress as of right now. If it moves forward without, you know, any changes, and as it's been reported, as the text has been reported, it appears that the president is willing to sign this and then look elsewhere, as he has said, go elsewhere for the rest of the funding necessary to build and finish the wall, as he has said, because there's construction on the wall going on right now. There'll be new funds available for more construction in this. And again, so it's not over for continuing wall construction. I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think, again, the president, who said, I don't like this, I don't love this, but at the same time, willing, it appears, to do this to avoid a shutdown. Take a listen to President Trump by five.
I don't think you're going to see a shutdown. I wouldn't want to go to it now. If you did have it, it's a Democrat's fault. And I accepted the first one, and I'm proud of what we've accomplished, because people learned during that shutdown all about the problems coming in from the southern border. I've always accepted it. But this one, I would never accept if it happens, but I don't think it's going to happen. But this would be totally on the Democrats.
So again, does not believe there'll be a shutdown, thinks that the legislation will get to his desk. Let me go right to Washington, D.C., Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, as of now, as it stands, it appears this is what we will have to live with and deal with, is what has been put together in this deal, and that the president, though he's not thrilled with it, doesn't love every part of it, and no one does. On either side of the aisle, by the way, not just Republicans, but Democrats either, that it appears that this will likely to pass, with obviously some Republicans voting for it, some voting against it, Democrats some voting for it, some voting against it, that it could get through, we think, the House and the Senate, and ultimately, if it does this way get there, that the president will sign it.
Yeah, Jordan, of course, all that's conditioned on the fact that when the legislative text comes out, it matches what's been reported. But look, I think I read the president's comments the same way, that if it's as reported and if it can clear both chambers, that he's inclined to sign it, take the roughly $1.4 billion now, and then look in other places for the rest. And I know we're going to get into this more, Jordan, but I actually think he can find quite a bit in other sources that he would be able to fund the rest of the wall with. Now, I will be interested, though, Jordan, when this text comes out, I think it's likely to go to the House of Representatives first, because I think that might be the toughest hurdle for us. So will that vote be in the middle of the night tonight? Will it be tomorrow? I'm not quite sure, but I think the fact that it's heading towards the House first is because that's where they maybe face the highest hurdle in getting it through.
All right, we are going to open up the phones for you at 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts on this deal and the president's idea to find funding elsewhere. And we're going to tell you where that funding can be. You may have seen some reports about it, but where would other funding be available to the president to utilize to finish the wall? We'll take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on J Seculo Live.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's actually pretty early in the week when we have these government shutdown possibilities to declare that as things stand today, at this exact moment, as we're live right now, it appears that Congress, both the House and the Senate, will pass this bipartisan compromise on funding the Department of Homeland Security that, yes, does include some new funding for the wall. And it's not insubstantial. I mean, you're talking about almost $1.4 billion, certainly far away from the $5 billion the president wanted. But it is a compromise between Republicans and Democrats. If it is the same language that has been reported, right now it's being put into legislative text so it can be voted on. So the committee had the deal in principle, then they put it down into legislative text. That text matches what we've seen in the news. The president has indicated, the leaders of Congress have indicated, they will schedule the votes. The House vote is already scheduled. If they get the text in time to vote even today or later tonight, on this, maybe tomorrow if they have to, then the Senate will follow. And ultimately, the president's indicated doesn't love this at all, but does not think there will be another shutdown. I think that was the key indication that unless there is a large, I always say this, but a deviation in this text, you know, if there's some trying to slip in limits on what the Border Patrol is able to do with the amount of beds they have in their detention facilities and this kind of issue, which we know the left wanted in there, that was ultimately, we're told, has been taken out. So if that remains true, this would, you know, get through Congress. I'm sure some Republicans are going to vote against this. Some Democrats are going to vote against this as well. So it'd be an interesting kind of bipartisan vote, I think. But the president appears willing to sign it if it does to avoid another shutdown. And as he has said, he's got other options to finish the wall. And we're going to start taking some calls on this. Robert in Maryland on line two. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. How you doing, Jordan?
Hey, we're good.
I wanted to ask you if the president signs a legislation that's going through both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, what other options do you believe that he'll use to get the remaining amount of money to fund the wall? Do you think it'll be the national emergency that he can declare to use the funds to construct the remaining amount of the border security wall, or do you think he'll invoke some type of statutes under his constitutional authority of president, you know, absent invoking a national emergency?
Yeah, so I think, all options are on the table, Robert. And Harry, we've looked at the national emergency option. It's not the only option But I think we should address it now because Robert has brought that up. And people have asked also if you on Facebook, if you do sign this, can you still declare national emergency? The answer is yes. We believe it's within the president's authority to do so. It will face legal challenge. So that's one of the issues. If you can find the money elsewhere and not face those same kind of legal challenges and not have a fight over presidential power, even though we believe the president's authorized to do so, and he hasn't taken it off the table, that you may want to go elsewhere first and try that on the funding and not declare the national emergency. But again, we believe it's totally within the president's not just authorization, not just a constitutional power as commander-in-chief, but he is expressly authorized by Congress to do this.
I think that's correct. So I think the president has power and authority both under the Constitution, and he has statutory authority to declare a national emergency. We have reviewed this issue thoroughly, and we find that there is judicial, statutory, and constitutional authority for the president to issue a national emergency. However, it's very important at this time to note that the issuance of a national emergency declaration would likely trigger a number of court challenges, and it's very possible that some judge somewhere would try to issue an injunction. And so I think the president is wise to look for other options. And so I think he could sign the proposed legislation, assuming the text meets the principles that have been outlined. He could declare victory and then seek other options within either so-called drug corridor legislation, the Secure Fencing Act, or other alternatives that the OMB is looking at. I think one of the things that the president faces is he faces really an economic concept called the law of diminishing returns. So that we've had a shutdown, and it's very likely at this point that the president does not retain the support of all Republicans, for instance, if there is indeed another shutdown. So I think it's important to note that under the proposed legislation, he can advance his goal of finishing the wall and then add additional funding without necessarily incurring the political cost associated with a shutdown. So I think that is probably the best move at this point, again, assuming we get clarification on the actual legislative text.
Yeah, I mean, let me go to Than. Than, in front of me, I've got 10 U.S.C. Section 284, part of our U.S. Code, support for counter-drug activities and activities to counter transnational organized crime. We know that's an issue at the border. This is already passed by Congress. The Secretary of Defense, part of the executive branch, may provide support for the countering drug or activities to counter transnational organized crime of any other department or agency of the federal government of any state, local, tribal, or foreign law enforcement agency for any purpose set forth in this subsection. I mean, you look through this, and it actually specifically says in subsection 6, construction of roads and fences and installation of lighting to block drug smuggling corridors across international boundaries of the U.S. So there are other places that the president's authorized to already utilize the federal government, the executive branch agencies to construct this wall.
Yeah, the one you just read, Jordan, is one of the strongest ones, in my opinion, that exist in statute. I mean, Leader Schumer has acted like the only thing the president is talking about is this authority to transfer money from one account to another. That's just one of a wide array of options that is available to the president. And we know the president has said that OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, is currently preparing a list of options, a wide array of options for the president to consider. So in some cases, it might involve transfer authority where Congress has given him authority to move money around. In some cases, you can leave the money in the same account, but you can program it to another resource or project inside the same account. And in some cases, Jordan, the president just might have outright authority under funding through a program to build this wall. And the one that you're reading, I think it falls under that category. I mean, The specific authorization for the Department of Defense, construction of roads or fences, okay, that's definitely what we're talking about, to block drug smuggling corridors. Is anyone, Jordan, going to argue that the southern border is not a drug smuggling corridor? We know that it is, and the arrest of El Chapo yesterday proved that. And then, again, across an international boundary of the United States. Well, clearly it's an international boundary of the United States. That's what the whole debate is about. So, Jordan, under 10 U.S.C. Section 284, I think the president has outright authority. He doesn't have to transfer funds. He doesn't have to reprogram funds. To the extent that there are funds available for that section, Jordan, I think it's crystal clear the president can use them.
And Ted Cruz has proposed legislation in the Senate to use El Chapo's money that will be forfeited as he's found guilty of all 10 counts yesterday. He'll spend definitely life in prison on those charges. Use his money. Since Mexico paying for the wall, having the Mexican drug leaders to pay for the wall. Those cartel heads who have been apprehended, and their funds have been in the process of being seized or have been seized by the U.S. federal government, that use their funds. So again, I mean, there's legislative options. There's the national emergency option. There's other statutes like the drug corridor option in the Department of Defense building the wall. And then OMB is looking also just what has been allocated, what is actually needed, you know, so what funds are needed. And basically you have Congress saying, well, maybe you could, you know, you could do this, and Obama has done it, but President Trump can't. Take a listen to Senator Schumer.
As for moving around the money, he needs congressional permission to do it. It was done in the past by President Obama and President Trump, but the Republicans controlled the House and gave him the okay. He doesn't have the authority to do it without House permission.
I mean, Than, of course, the Congress controls the purse strings, so they can retaliate if they don't like something the president's doing. But they'd ultimately be retaliating against themselves, because the Democrats would, any kind of retaliation would be, not funding bureaucracy? I mean, so they love funding the government bureaucracy, and that's kind of like their bread and butter is a bigger federal government. So the idea here that they could step in and really do anything, well, he admits there that Obama did it, President Trump's done it, and Obama did it with a divided Congress.
It's ridiculous, not only because it's duplicitous as it is, as you have pointed out, but Jordan, it's just one of the options available to it. I mean, the code that we've been talking about here, designating a drug corridor and using funds, Jordan, that doesn't require transfer of appropriation. That is what appropriations for that section of the statute is actually for. So the president wouldn't even have to transfer it. He'd just have to use it. Now, all of the money isn't there, Jordan, but Leader Schumer is trying to paint all of these options with one brush, and it just doesn't apply.
All right, folks, we are, again, taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. If you're hanging on, we'll get to your calls. We're going to take them throughout the show. This is what looks like is going to happen. It looks like the president will sign this. I know there's some opposition to it. We'll take calls about that as well. And then what happens next? The president's defining that as well.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls on the shutdown issue, and it looks like there'll be an avoidance of a government shutdown. The president said that. House has already got a vote scheduled on this compromise legislation for the Department of Homeland Security. That's what we're taking your phone calls on. I did want to update you on a couple of issues. One, an ACLJ victory. We'll get a blog up at ACLJ.org later today about this. Abby Sutherland just got back from Gaffney, South Carolina, where the city council and the city there had an ordinance that was preventing two churches from being able to lease properties and open up. So two different churches contacted the ACLJ. Abby, tell us what happened.
So after the churches contacted us, we reached out to the city and explained that the current provision, which specifically prohibits religious organizations from occupying certain storefronts and buildings in the commercial district, only religious organizations, is illegal under what is called the RLUIPA, or the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act.
And so when we were initially contacted by the churches, and we went to the city, went to the Planning Commission first, actually, drafted an amendment, said this is how you can get your law in order, so that it's based on, so it's no longer violating the, not just, again, not just a constitutional issue, but a specific legislative statute, federal statute, and they did not. The Planning Commission did not adopt our amendment.
They did not. So we educated them on the federal laws that apply, explained the provision is illegal, proposed an amendment that would fix the illegal provision. And surprisingly, the Planning Commission still voted by a 3-2 vote to uphold the illegal provision and to keep it in the zoning ordinance.
But the city council where you appeared, we saw the video of that. Maybe we could play some of that while we're on there. I'm not sure if we have it like that. But you appear before the city council. They oversee the Planning Commission. You actually went to Gaffney on behalf of these two churches, appeared on behalf of the ACLJ and all of our members as well, explained it, and they moved forward in a positive way. These churches now are going, they realize that they're in violation. They need to update their codes, they update their local statutes to be consistent with RLUIPA, and then ultimately it's a victory for these two churches.
Right. We appeared on Monday night, explained again the application of federal law, and by unanimous vote, the city council voted to amend the zoning ordinance to remove that illegal provision.
I think this is an important opportunity, folks. You have to understand that while we're talking these big issues sometimes on this broadcast, there's another one of them we're about to discuss with Abby in just a second. We've got our attorneys are out. Attorneys like Abby are out in the field working on our behalf of our clients. And as we oftentimes indicate, it's not always the court in that kind of setting. It's the city councils. It's important to educate those city councils. And also sometimes you have to show up, though, because, again, they could have corrected themselves the first time with the Planning Commission. They didn't do so, but ultimately unanimously adopted the ACLJ's recommendation, which means that the churches will be able to lease this property, open up, and actually probably help revitalize the area that they're in Gaffney. So a great victory there, Abby. A troubling story out of New York, something we warned about talking about the New York abortion law. We're starting to see the first instances of what it means when you repeal all these criminal codes. So a story is out of Queens, New York, where it was a horrendous attack by an act of violence, a murder. And here was a boyfriend who stabbed his pregnant girlfriend to death. She was, again, he knew she was pregnant. So he was charged with two different murders, two different homicides. One, it was actually called illegal abortion there. the statute is a criminal, so it amounts to murder. And they were trying to figure out with this new law, does that even apply anymore? And they've decided and reasoned based on like what we said, they can't charge him with that second murder of murdering the unborn child.
That's right. They can't charge him with the abortion. And it was Article 125 of the penal law in New York, which previously was entitled homicide, abortion, and related offenses. And so as I understand it, the Queens district attorney initially thought that he would be charged in addition to the murder of the mother with abortion. However, she had to come back later and acknowledge that the abortion charge would not stand. This was a situation in which the boyfriend, the mother was 5 months pregnant, and the boyfriend intentionally stabbed the mother numerous times in her torso, in her stomach, in order to murder the baby in addition to the mother.
And this, again, folks, is direct. I mean, we were doing the calculation a couple weeks after New York has actually passed this into law. You've already got these prosecutors who are ready to prosecute a double murder, basically a double homicide here. But they have stripped away the protections for the unborn child completely, not just an abortion setting in what you call a, quote, legal abortion setting, but even in an act where this boyfriend, not to be too grotesque, but was targeting the child when he first began this stabbing. And the woman, the girlfriend's 5 months pregnant. So, I mean, this was totally known and intentional, but that charge will not be brought now.
That's right. And it was definitely premeditated. And that's what's so unfortunate about this is, again, the Democrats' push for these pro-choice laws to support and protect abortion do not support the mother, do not support the pregnant woman.
We're seeing the same thing on this one proposed in Vermont as well. I mean, you've got the same exact taking away all civil and criminal penalties for anyone who wants to perform. I mean, it says like any person can perform an abortion, not any licensed medical professional, but any person. And so then you find yourself in this situation, like this horrendous situation in New York. But again, Abby, thanks for coming on to explain this to people. The great victory out of Gaffney, and also a reminder about what these laws in New York do. Thanks, Abby. All right, folks, we're going to get to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, on the government funding issue. And, at some points, it looks like could we be heading towards another shutdown? Listen, it's Congress' job to get something to the president's desk first. And then if it does get to his desk, he's indicated that if in fact it's how it's been reported, I don't love this, but I will sign it and I'll find money to finish the wall other places, and that the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, is already doing that. I want to go right to the phones. Tessa in Virginia on line 6. Tessa, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thanks. How are you?
Hey, we're good.
I just wanted to say, regardless if he gets any money or not for the bill, I'm concerned if he signs it. My reasons being because if he can get more money a different way, Senator Richard Shelby said he could get about $23 billion. There are parts in there that say that the Democrats want less detention beds so they can't hold as many people who break the law. And the other part is they actually want to make it harder for DHS to enforce the laws. So regardless of the border wall money, I mean, I'm already happy that Nancy said she was only going to give a dollar and then nothing, and then now we're getting a billion. But regardless if we get funding on that bill, I have a lot of concerns with it.
Yeah, so let's address those concerns right away. Than, as of now, I was under the impression that the beds issue had been handled. That's no longer an issue as it's been reported. And right. I even saw the deputy director of ICE say that as it's been reported, they're comfortable with the language as well.
That's correct, Jordan. And this is really important for Tessa and everybody else to hear. The Democrats did want to reduce the limit on detention beds down to about 16,000. The reports are that we're essentially going to get the status quo, which is funding for about 40,000 and flexibility, Jordan, for the president to get another 10 or 20,000. So we think that issue has been resolved in a reasonable manner. But Jordan, I would tell you this. This is an issue that if the text comes out and it's not as reported, I expect the president would not sign it.
This would be a deal breaker kind of issue if it was to come back from the dead, if you will. We've told it has been, the far left has lost on this issue in the deal-making process. But we'll see once the actual legislative text is public. 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up. We'll continue taking your phone calls and explaining all this to you on Jay Sekulow Live.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, here we go, folks. Let me set the stage. Now, I want to get right to the phones, actually, because I think the phone calls are helping the discussion as well, because there's so much reporting out there. What is in this deal? What's not in this deal? Congress is scheduling votes. It appears, first of all, on the funding for DHS would prevent the government shutdown. On Congress, they do have a potential vote scheduled for later today. It looks like that will be tomorrow is what you're hearing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a placeholder for a vote tonight, Jordan, that the House could vote if the text is available in time to consider it. But what I'm hearing right now is that Steny Hoyer, the Democrat leader in the House, is suggesting that he doesn't expect to see text this conference report, Jordan, until now, sometime after 4 o'clock p.m., so still a few hours away. And if that's the case, he's expecting that this vote won't occur in the House until tomorrow. So if that's correct, let's just say the House votes in the morning, I think the earliest you would see a vote in the Senate would be tomorrow evening, and then it would be available for the president's signature on Friday. But Jordan, even that, I mean, that's in time to avert a shutdown, assuming it clears all the hurdles.
And again, that's assuming that there's not the provision in there that they've supposedly taken out, which is on the limiting the ICE facilities and the number of beds in detention facilities, that basically having to let criminals go out into the streets, and then again, not by court order, but because you don't have enough beds to do so. That provision appears to be taken out. That's what's been reported. But right now it's being codified. It's being put into legislative text then. And so we're watching that very closely. That's why we keep saying, as of now, as of what is being reported, there are things that we obviously don't like. There are things people do like. No one is thrilled with this. That's kind of the dealing when you're talking about the Democrats or Republicans compromising on anything. Especially when it comes to something, unfortunately, that's become so partisan, it shouldn't be, our border security. But that is the way it stands now, is that it appears that if this is how the language comes out, it will get to the president's desk and that he will sign it and find funding elsewhere for the wall as it becomes necessary. I'll explain why I say that as well. But I want to take Nancy's call in California. She's been holding on. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to really say, I've been a dedicated supporter of Trump's this whole time, but if he caves to this again, he's going to lose a huge amount of his supporters. I mean, we put him in office because he was strong enough to go against the regular politicians, no matter the cost.
Nancy, just so I get your idea here, you're saying you'd rather shut down the government, basically, even though, and I say this, I'm not any less frustrated than you are, Nancy, with this deal. Let me put that out there. I mean, this is not the deal anybody on the right wants. But we also had a big defeat in the House of Representatives since President Trump has been elected in the midterm elections. So he's dealing now with a government that's very different than the government he was dealing with, a year and a half ago. So, I mean, you think, Nancy, though, the only option is a shutdown at this point?
I do believe that. It's my understanding that it's very normal to lose seats in elections that way. But I think that, you know, the other lawful options that everybody keeps talking about, those have been available for the last 2.5 years, and those have not been used yet. And if it goes to a court and he says that, you know, he's doing this for an emergency, the court's going to say, well, why have you let it go on for all these months if it's an emergency?
Well, okay, so that's not really an issue, I don't think. I don't think you have to worry about the court saying that part of it. That's only the national emergency issue. But you did ask a question I think it's important for us to address, and we may be able to address it fairly quickly here, but we're running out of time in this segment. But we'll be right back after the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Harry, part of this funding idea is that the wall is being built as we speak right now, but it takes time. So you don't need necessarily all the money at one time. You can get it that way, but is the that's something important for Nancy and people to understand is you don't need it all at one time because of the construction process.
I think you're correct. I think it's important to note that the amount of funds contained in the proposed tax would provide double the new miles which were provided vis-a-vis last year's budget.
Yeah.
So this is indeed progress, and it's only 10 miles less than what the president sought this year.
Yeah.
So this is
6-7 months of funding.
A substantial movement.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. So now we're kind of, I think, I want to shift to, okay, let's assume this gets signed. As the president just said, and we're pulling the sound so you can hear it directly, but as the president just said from the Oval Office, he was doing a gaggle with reporters that they're going to be looking for landmines. So the beds issue with ICE and the detention facilities, those kind of issues, which would be worth torpedoing the legislation over, I think, and could cause another shutdown. So they're going to be looking for landmines in the legislative text. But if those landmines aren't there, let's move forward and say, okay, this looks like it's going to get signed. Where does the president, he says, you know, we're looking at the other options. Other funding that's available. Where does the president go to find the other funding? Okay, one of the issues we've discussed over and over is national emergency. We believe it can be done. We know it, we believe it's within the president's authority, and we'd be ready to go to defend that and the policy and laws behind that if that's where the president went. But there are other options available. And one of those options, again, is the one like proposed by Ted Cruz. There's $14 billion that's been seized from El Chapo. He was now found, he was convicted yesterday. So he's no longer just accused of these crimes that all, you know, combined carry multiple life sentences, but has been convicted now of the crimes. So the money has been frozen now and it will be seized by the federal government. That's $14 billion that were, you know, running through our financial institutions because he was operating this massive Sinaloa drug cartel, which still is operating as of today. That money will then be seized by the federal government. Ted Cruz has legislation to use it to build the wall. There's going to be a question, I think, as well as, do you even have to get legislative authority to do that? So is that another pot the president can utilize of federal funds to build the wall? And how great would it be to have an El Chapo-funded border barriers throughout our southern border to prevent another El Chapo from coming into existence? Because that's, you know, you're looking at those the criminals. It's not just about illegal immigrants, but the drug smugglers, human traffickers there, and again, that plague our country. The drug crisis plaguing our country right now. So again, you call it the El Chapo border wall, if you will, which again, Mexico would be paying for in a sense that way. Than it's an option that's been put forward legislatively, and then there's the, as we move forward this, it's like the other options. Can you do this even without Congress, as the president said with some of the other options, because money is already available to the executive branch that isn't completely allocated in a specific way?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that will be yes, Jordan. I mean, look, I think El Chapo paid for it. It might sound even better than Mexico paid for it. I mean, there's, of course, going to be questions there, like, you know, how much of that money can you actually get your hands on? What can it be reprogrammed for? But look, I think the point is this. I think the president is going to put all of those options on the table. I think he's going to look at, you know, assets that have been seized from convicted criminals. I think he's going to look at the $23 billion that OMB has identified. He's already told us he's looking at that. Jordan, some of that would only spring free if there was the declaration under the national emergency, like funds available under the Water Resources and Development Act. But then some of them you don't need a national emergency for. We've talked about the drug corridor. I think that authority under 10 U.S.C. 284 is crystal clear. We don't know how much is available there. But I will tell you this. I know the officials that are preparing this list, Jordan, they know specifically how much money is in each of these accounts. And the president knows he doesn't need all $25 billion right now. If he needs $5 billion this year, maybe he can get there without declaring a national emergency. Maybe he can push that off until next year, or maybe not. But what I keep coming back to is what the president told us yesterday. I am building this wall one way or another. And Jordan, I think he's going to look at the dues that come forward when they come due. I need to cut a check for this amount to accomplish what I need this year. Jordan, I think he's going to find the amount he needs one step at a time.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if you're a supporter of the president, supporter of those aspects, don't turn completely, because this is someone who's promising you he will get it done and utilizing every means possible. Every means possible is not just what is funded. This is a deal for 6 or 7 months of funding for this fiscal year. And then you have these fights again, you have another election. So it's time again. You get a $1.4 billion head start, and then you got to find these other billions of dollars. Now, we're a giant federal government with huge budgets. You can do that. Sounds like a lot of money, but it's not. I mean, Harry, the truth is, this is a drop in the ocean of the federal budget, if you will.
I think you're absolutely correct. Also, it's important to note that the proposed agreement, and again, I have not yet seen the text, provides specific authority to build 55 miles of wall, which I've suggested is only 10 miles less than what the president sought authority for last year. In addition, the Democrats have previously proposed explicit limits on the president's authority to build a wall. As I understand the agreement as proposed, and again, I haven't seen the text, that language is now removed. So if all of that is true, I believe the president should accept this agreement as a first step, a down payment, if you will, on finishing the wall, then cobble together funds from a number of other sources, including hopefully monies from El Chapo, and finish the job.
So, folks, again, we're going to get right to your calls right away. Let's go to Julie in California on line one. Julie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Jordan, thanks for taking my call. I have two questions.
Sure.
About miles and money. How many total miles between the USA and Mexico of the border actually have to be built in total? And secondly, if the president finds money through other sources or emergency declaration, how much money total would he need to build the entire wall?
Okay, so entirety, they say somewhere around $25 billion. That's the big picture amount for this. What is necessary right now so that you could get a real jump start is, the president said $5 billion is the number. The amount of mileage, some of this is existing barriers being redone than. Some of this is brand new, 55 miles that, you know, that may be authorized with this new deal. There's 6 miles being done right now as we speak that they're building on. And then there's some areas that don't need it all. So it's not the full, you know, 2,000 mile plus southern border. But if we look at it kind of in nature, it's about $25 billion. If 1.3 pays for 55 miles, I think you can figure out the math from there about what is necessary, about how long it would be.
Yeah, and the real key hang-up here, Jordan, has been on about new construction, new miles where there hasn't been existing fencing or walls before. And the president had asked for 234 miles worth of that and $5.7 billion for the first year of that. You know, he needed $25 million in total. And if you look at what's reportedly in this agreement, Jade, Jordan, it actually tracks exactly with what the president wanted, just not for the full 234 miles. It authorizes 55 miles, which is about a quarter of that, and then about a quarter of the president's request, so the $1.4 billion. So I think the president would actually get as far on that 55 miles as he had wanted to get in the first year with this funding, because it's 25% of what he requested and 25% of the new miles that he requested as well. So it's not great, but for that 55 miles, Jordan, I think he'd accomplish everything he wanted to this year.
Yeah, so I mean, again, you've got to remember, this is not like your forever funding. This is funding for the rest of the fiscal year, and Harry, it's 6-7 months.
I think that's correct, and I think we should also note that some 700 miles of border fencing has already been completed along the 2,000-mile border, and some of this was actually completed apparently during Barack Obama's presidency as part of the Secure Fence Act of 2006, which was signed by George Bush. So it's important to note that a portion of the wall is already in place, and I believe the president is seeking support to enhance the border wall even further. But again, the president has not contemplated finishing the wall in this fiscal year, but he has certainly pushed the American people and Congress to fund the wall so that we can complete it in a short a period of time.
Here's what we got. We've got about a minute left here, and then we've got our next segment, which is the final segment of the show coming up. In that segment, we start right off the top with phone calls, and we take all the phone calls that we can. A couple lines are open because we've actually been taking a lot of calls throughout the show today. So if you want to talk to us on the air, this is the time. While we go into this break, this is the time to call to get your questions and your comments in. Assuming that the president does sign this, and that this compromise does not have the landmines in it that would, you know, blow this up and cause another shutdown, where do you stand right now using these other options? The El Chapo wall, the other legislative statutes that we've gone through, even not having to deal with a national emergency. Obviously, it's on the table. The president said that every time he's asked. It's definitely on the table as one of the options. But do you stick with the president if you support this wall and trust him when he says he's going to get this finished? That he will. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Great victory from the ACLJ for two churches in South Carolina. Check that out at aclj.org. Later today, we'll have a blog up on that and those churches that will now be able to open in Gaffney, South Carolina, because the city council there unanimously adopted our recommendations to update their statutes and rules based off the federal law. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions, and for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
I love some of these Facebook comments. Carrie on Facebook wrote in, an El Chapo-funded wall would be awesome. Rob on Facebook, we could call it the Great Wall of Irony, because it's, if it's funded by El Chapo's assets, which is about $14 billion. So if the president's looking for $25 billion total, he's getting a couple billion more from the, he's getting $1.3 billion again from Congress. He received the same amount before. And then you add, you know, $14 billion of seized assets from El Chapo. You're getting, I think that El Chapo, if he's the largest recipient, he wins the prize of, and I think President Trump will be willing to say, on one side of the border, you can call it the Trump wall. On the other side, maybe you write El Chapo wall, depending on which view you are seeing it from, as a reminder to those who want to abuse the United States, or who did abuse the poorest border of the United States and damage so many lives, take so many lives, not just of Mexicans, which was horrendous, the drug wars that go on there and the communities there, but of Americans as well who have been killed in this drug crisis that has, again, led by groups like the Sinaloa drug cartel that El Chapo founded and was the leader of it. He's now been found guilty. So now that he's been found guilty, the assets can be fully seized. And I think it's a way, again, like the president said, there's options on the table. We want to get right to your phone calls. So that's what we do in this segment of the broadcast. John in Washington State, thanks for holding on. You're on the air, John.
Thanks, Jordan. What a great job you all do. And I was thinking, I wonder why, if our president is interested in protecting the American people, why would there be any resistance from the Democrats to this effort? I guess I don't quite understand it, but maybe I guess I know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do. We just don't want to accept it. And I think Debbie on Facebook wrote in, same kind of thing, John. When will Congress focus on America and safety at our southern border? They used to kind of get along on this issue. The president came in and said, let's do something somewhat more drastic. Let's fix the existing structures that are falling apart. Doesn't seem that drastic, but it's become so partisan. I mean, Harry, that's what happened, is this became an issue. Because it'd be seen as a victory for the president that it's become a left versus right issue when it wasn't a few years ago.
I think that's precisely correct. I think the Democrats have largely adopted a distorted perspective on the American interest. And so they are no longer prepared to put American interests first. Instead, they are prepared to put the interest of globalists first, individuals who are outside of our borders. They are even prepared to protect criminals in our midst from being deported. So you have Democratic governors who are pardoning criminals so they will not necessarily be deported. We're talking about people that are here illegally. So I think Democrats have gone to extreme lengths in their opposition to President Trump. And I think the American people are gradually understanding that much of the Democratic opposition is indeed irrational, and it's not in the interest of the American people.
We're going to get rapid fire through these calls now. Anna in North Carolina on line four. Anna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I just want to say I am a Trump supporter.
Yep.
And I think if everything that you guys say is correct in the language that's going to come across his desk, as a supporter, I think he needs to sign it. My reason for this is if we have a shutdown, people are going to lose their jobs again.
Right.
You're going to make people angry. There's a voting, an election year coming up. And we can't just be, oh, we want the wall, we want the wall. He didn't become who he is by not being a very shrewd negotiator.
Right. And looking at all the options that are available. I mean, you know, in a sense, he's got, if he's got them giving him $1.3 billion and he believes he can find easily the other $4 billion necessary to get to $5 billion for the rest of the year in the budget that is existing, why rely on Congress? I mean, I think we're in the same position, Anna, right now, is that certainly I am individually, is that, you know, if advising the president, you would say, listen, look at what's here. You look out for the landmines. So, like you said, carefully, if it's as being reported, you move forward because this is only funding for partial part of the year, and you move forward and you keep moving the ball forward. But I know there's people with a lot of different opinions on this. Let's go to David in Florida on line six. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey.
So, you know, you guys, it doesn't sound like you're mentioning the 15,000 beds that they wrote into this bill, that they want to allow that many more people to come in because the ICE won't be able to house them, right?
No. Okay, so now you're saying that they're adding beds. David, I think you're getting confusing one of the issues. ICE wanted to make sure they could add more beds based off their existing needs then. I mean, they want to be prepared to make the decisions they need to make, and they needed funding for that. So, yes, there's going to be illegal immigration, and yes, ICE wants to detain those who are here illegally.
Yeah, this is very important for David and everybody else to understand. The effort from the left in Washington, D.C., Jordan, to limit the number of people who can be detained, down around 15,000 people detained, it looks like that is not in this language, Jordan. There are currently about 49,000 people detained by ICE through funding that allows for 40,000 beds, so 40,000 people to be detained, and then additional flexibility. The president wanted to keep that number at about the same level. The left in Washington wanted to reduce that all the way down to 15,000, which would mean he would have to release more than 30,000 criminals. I want David to hear this very clearly. The reports are that restriction is not in this deal. I will be the first to admit, if that comes back, I don't think there's any way the president should sign it. Releasing 30,000 criminals back into the United States is a terrible idea. But Jordan, as reported, that restriction is not in this language.
Yes, I mean, I was not trying to be nasty. I think it can get confusing. If all these numbers get thrown around, who's right, who's right? Right now, it's all being reported. That's why we're being very careful. Here's what's being reported, that restriction and decrease on ICE detention beds is out. If that changes, I think that would be one of the landmines that the president talked about just recently in a press conference. He said that, you know, there's landmines, and we have to look at that. Here it is. Take a listen to the president.
We haven't gotten it yet. We'll be getting it. We'll be looking for landmines because you could have that. You know, it's been known to happen before to people. But we have not gotten it yet. It'll be sent to us at some point.
Can we quickly grab Donna's call? Is she available or not? No, she's not available. Okay. So again, the president, for everybody out there, he's looking for the landmines. Than quickly, we expect Washington, they could take action later today. More likely, the votes start happening tomorrow, and we'd watch them very closely because ultimately, talk, it has to get to the president's desk for him to even have the option of signing it to keep the government open.
Yeah. That's right. Here's what I expect, Jordan. I expect later this afternoon for us to get a conference report, people to furiously read through it. I think a vote in the House is probably likely before noon tomorrow, and then a vote in the Senate probably sometime later in the day tomorrow, and the president would have it for his consideration on Friday. He can sign it any time before the end of the day, and it would avert a government shutdown.
All right, so folks, we will be monitoring that very closely in the votes, and likely it'll be happening tomorrow, maybe just before, while we're on the air. So again, stay tuned with Jay Sekulow Live tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow's show as we watch this process literally unfold. And check out ACLJ.org later today. A big win for religious liberty in South Carolina because of the ACLJ's work. So again, check that out at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, aclj.org.